We are so thankful for the children in our lives, particularly on a day like today, where we celebrate and give thanks for the children of the church, not only for what we can teach them, but also for what they can teach us. Because children are so playful and imaginative that they can spend hours on end drawing on a piece of paper with just a handful of crayons. They don't even need a picture to go by or to trace. They can simply draw what they see with their imaginations. That they are not burdened by the tasks of the day. That we have our heads down, focused on what needs to be done, which is essential and important, and we try to teach our children how to pay attention to the tasks at hand. But one of their gifts, which we can learn from, is their ability to remain unfocused. That they're always looking around. Just let a child loose in a new place and give them about 10 minutes and wait and see what they find. I remember exploring my grandmother's house, and I discovered a wrapped Christmas gift hidden in a random place in the middle of May that she had hidden it. And forgotten that she had hidden it. And when I brought it to her, she said it was at least 3 years old. She had to open it to see what it was. The children are always looking around, which is so helpful because it means we look up to see from where our help comes, that we notice the presence of God who made heaven and earth. And it's why we gather in this room each week. Because in this place, we are safe enough to remain unfocused. Where we are open to God's Spirit in our lives. And like children, we have to anticipate we will not understand everything that we might experience. That God's love is too big and too wide for us to explain it. That we can't always explain it, but we can experience it. And because we can't explain it, perhaps that's why we sing about it. That maybe that's why children are always singing to themselves. They experience more of what we cannot explain. It's like that beautiful hymn. There is a wideness in God's mercy. Where we can't explain it, but where we sing, there is a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea, that there's a kindness in God's judgment, which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner and graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in His blood. But we make God's love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify God's strictness with a zeal God will not own. That who of us could explain the width of the sea, which is like the width of God's mercy? And since we cannot explain it, like the hymn writer says, we are tempted to put false limits on it so we can understand it. but we are simply called to lean into the experience of it. Perhaps that's why Nicodemus went to see Jesus while it was still dark. Maybe he had been up all night, tossing and turning in his bed where he could not sleep, that he was trying to make sense of something he had experienced, but he could not explain. And he goes to Jesus and says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who is from God." But Jesus said, "I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus had no idea what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus anticipated this. He said, "Don't be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above." But Nicodemus could not figure it out. He is wondering, how can someone physically be born twice? Just ask the midwife. That's impossible. And if that was not enough, Jesus goes on to say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Now, if we take those familiar words off of the sign at the football game and we put them back down there on the pages of Scripture next to Nicodemus's question, we realize they are talking about something we cannot explain, but that we might experience. It is about a love which is meant to heal the world. Normally at my house, when something breaks, I can't fix it. So I go to Amazon.com and I order a replacement. But one Friday morning, when I was reading through my sermon for Sunday, I realized the importance of repairing something. For the first person to listen to my sermon is my chocolate lab, Kinsley. And she's fairly supportive, paying attention sometimes more, sometimes less. Well, you've heard that old adage, "My dog ate my homework." Well, I married an English teacher, so I have always assumed that your dog did not eat your homework. But on this Friday morning, I heard the phone ring inside. And I ran inside to answer it, and I left my sermon on the picnic table on our back deck. And my dog ate my homework. That apparently it was not very good. And I couldn't run down to Home Depot and pick up a replacement. So I had to rummage through the drawers in the kitchen and find the scotch tape. And I sat down at the kitchen table, and for about an hour, I pieced the puzzle back together, hoping I could still read it. And funny enough, the sermon was about God's love as a gift to us, which was quite fitting, because the love of God is always trying to put the pieces of the puzzle back together. That God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And that when we hear again Nicodemus's question, and we realize he's trying to understand something he has experienced, but he cannot explain. We discover that we are invited to simply lean into God's steadfast love. And when we lean into it, we experience two conversions. As one theologian says, the first one is to God, and the second one is to the world. At first, we're converted by the love of God revealed in Jesus the Christ, but then we are converted to the world because God so loved the world that he sent his Son to save it. And one way that we lean into God's love for the world is by learning from children, where they are always looking around. Because if we are so focused on one thing, we might miss seeing all of the opportunities around us to care for the needs of others. It is such a gift when a child comes up to us and says, "I want to show you something." And he or she takes us by the hand and leads us into his or her world. They want to show us all their favorite things. They want to show us the book that they have read 100 times before, pointing out all their favorite pictures. Or they want to introduce us to the stuffed animal that lives on their bed named Bear Bear. Or they just want to show us something that they found at grandmother's house. And we can't always explain why it is important, but we can experience it because we can see it in their eyes. And it is the same with God's love for this world, that we are invited to walk through this world looking for what truly matters in people's lives, because we can see it in their eyes. And then we can offer to help, because there are no limits to the steadfast love of God. Amen.